Thank you for joining us at the OT Corner with Mrs. K. Please note this podcast does not intend to offer medical advice or therapeutic treatment for any medical condition for either yourself or others. If you have any medical or rehabilitation concerns for yourself or your child, please contact your physician. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the OT Corner with Mrs. K., a school-based occupational therapist bringing you a series of interviews and information on childhood development for kids with all different abilities. So get ready, get set, let's go.
Welcome to the OT Corner with Mrs. K. Today I have a very special guest, Dina Pruszynski, who is a school-based occupational therapist, just like me. She is also the owner and president of Star Therapy, which is a contract agency who provides occupational therapy practitioners and physical therapy practitioners to school districts in the area. Now, Dina has over 30 years of experience as an occupational therapist, and she has practiced, you know, in all different types of settings, but has settled pretty much in the school systems, and she's an excellent therapist. Today we're going to be discussing the mental health of occupational therapists and how having good mental health really improves your ability to become a good practitioner. We are also going to be talking about what types of stressors are out there for OTs and how this affects their practices and what they can do to tune into their emotions and remedy any sort of stressors that might crop up in their practice and in their personal life. Believe it or not, April is Occupational Therapy Month, and this topic is such a good topic to be talking about in Occupational Therapy Month because occupational therapy is actually rooted in mental health. This is where it all began for OTs. Back in World War I, the U.S. War Department employed what was called reconstruction aides to assist the recovery of wounded or injured soldiers. Our job was to go and help these guys with different types of, a lot of times it was crafts or different types of activities that would create some sort of diversion and help with their recovery. So it's just appropriate today that Dina has come on to discuss with me mental health with occupational therapists because even though we are specialists in this area, we do have to take care of our own mental health. And sometimes it's easy to lose sight of your own mental health when you're taking care of others. So why don't you join me today and welcome Dina Pruszynski as we discuss mental health in occupational therapy practitioners. Hi, Dina. Thanks so much for coming down to the OT Corner. Glad to have you today.
Good morning, Jennifer.
So real quick, Dina, how long have you been working as an occupational therapist?
Well, I started thinking back and oh my goodness, how time flies. It's been over 30 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It does fly by.
It sure does.
And did you start out working with kids?
No, actually I started working out. I started working in a rehab facility and I specialize in head trauma.
And then you ended up, how did you decide that you wanted to get into working with kids?
Well, once I started having my own children, I was in a management role, which required a lot of time and it was very stressful and really always wanted to go work and work with children. And that was my passion. So once I had children of my own, I started looking for some opportunities in pediatrics.
And then you ended up working in the school systems.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a great place to work. But, you know, there's always with our jobs as OTs, I think with any healthcare provider, there's so much stress. There is a lot of stress involved, I think, in our jobs. There's so many different types of settings, too. I think the stress is different in all different types of settings. What do you think overall are some of the highlighted stress issues, stress triggers that occupational therapists deal with?
I think some of the stress triggers are that staff shortage. A lot of times we just don't have enough help. There is a shortage of therapists just across the United States. And then those, you know, the productivity restraints too, you know, a lot of times we have to see a lot of patients in a short period of time. I know some of the settings have some pretty strict productivity restraints, which makes it hard on the clinicians. We all know the paperwork is.
With that, with the productivity restraints, I don't think people realize too that if we don't have, we have to be sent home sometimes from facilities. And when I first started, I was salaried, mm-hmm. and that was a long time ago. And now that's not how the payment structure is. So if you don't have a caseload to treat, you don't get paid that day. So that can also cause some stress, financial stress.
Yes.
For you though, like what is important to you to keep your, you know, to keep your stress levels down as a, you know, as an OT, what's important to you?
Having that, like that happiness, that job satisfaction, and having a good team that you can collaborate with and know that they have the same philosophy, the same mission that they are working towards, you know, helping children into their adulthood be more independent and be more successful.
And now, do you feel like that is across, like is that different than any other setting that you have been in that you feel that like you're, or do you feel that like, because now that you do work in the schools, you feel that you're a happier practitioner than when you were in other types of settings?
Yes, I do feel that I am a much happier practitioner in the school setting. Every day I love what I do and I enjoy my job and I never feel bored. The time just flies. I mean, wow, like before I know it, it's time for the end of the day. And, you know, it's just, it's such a fun, every day is a fun day and it's just very, very enjoyable.
I agree. I think that, I mean, I've been an OT now for like 23 years, I think it is. But I think that I finally felt my home in occupational therapy. I think that, I don't know, I think the difference between schools and other settings, and this might be kind of like a home setting, is that you're actually in the context of where they're using these skills. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, I don't know how you feel about that, but I enjoy that. I enjoy being in that moment with them. So,
and you get an opportunity, you feel like you're making a difference. You know, you can really help, you see the improvement. And many times when you work in the schools, you get to work with those children preschool all the way up to adulthood, early adulthood. And that's really exciting to see their growth and how much they've changed and some things that you've helped them with, such as being able to advocate for themselves and helping advocate for them throughout the years while they're in school.
I agree. It's like a slice of their lifespan that you're getting to experience.
Yes.
You know. When I was a student and working in one of my level two field works, I had a clinical instructor who wanted us to journal on a daily basis. Now, this was a very difficult clinical because it was in mental health, and I worked with basically prisoners who were in this outpatient program. They lived in like a dormitory, and they would come to this outpatient facility every day, and we would work with them on different types of skills. And they had to have a mental health diagnosis as well as some sort of addiction diagnosis. It was a very difficult clinical, and it really did test our mental health. But I did learn one thing for sure, and that was that checking in with how I felt about things on a daily basis made a huge, huge impact on how I showed up every day. So what can OTs do to take care of their mental health? Well, Dina goes into a couple ideas and also how a very popular frame of reference that OTs use nearly on a daily basis can be part of that.
I think the most important way to help with their mental health and stress is to have that balance in life. And many of us, when we were in school, we learned about the Meyer philosophy. And that was all about finding that balance in our life. And that was, you know, that balance between play, work, rest, sleep, And then also another part that's important is nutrition, what we're eating. And I think we really, if we have that balance in our day and make sure things are balanced well, it does help us a lot with just our day-to-day routines.
We've discussed this before. I think as OTs, especially as OTs, we need to be reminded about that, because I feel personally, I'm a person that does get off balance. I really have to pay attention to that. How do you do that? Like in your life, how do you find that balance and how do you stick to that balance?
Well, I really try to kind of know what's going on inside of my body too, and how I'm feeling. So getting in touch with my feelings. And I know when I do certain things, it helps me relax and I feel better. So really being aware of how we are feeling in that moment is really important, and making sure that I have that balance. For example, I make sure that I have some leisure outlets. I don't want to be working all the time. And it's good to have a time where you just kind of turn it off, shut it down for the day, and do something you enjoy. Maybe it's going for a walk, or maybe it's spending time with your children, or maybe it's reading a book. Find those things that you can go do to give your body a break. And then also, you know, thinking about what you're eating and making sure you're eating healthy. And also thinking about what you're drinking. You know, are we drinking enough water? You know, kind of the obvious, but sometimes, you know, we get so busy at work. Sometimes I don't drink any water, but maybe I'm drinking coffee. And, you know, then later I feel a little anxious and I'm like, what's going on inside my body? And I'm like, wait a minute, you know, you've been drinking coffee all morning, but you haven't had any water yet. So yeah, just being aware of our body and what's going on. And then too, being aware of situations so then you can sleep better. And so it's a perpetual circle if you don't get a handle on it.
So when we were in OT school, we have a bunch of frames of reference that we use for treatment. And one of the big ones is the model of human occupation, or what we endearingly call it is MOHO. Give us a little idea. I mean, I know what MOHO is, but for our listeners, what that is. And it really is a great frame. I don't think that a lot of us realize that we're using that frame of reference every single day.
Yes. And also too, I just think it's amazing too, just a little bit more just about MOHO is, you know, it is one of the most used practices in the world. So it's amazing how many practitioners are out there using MOHO as a frame of reference. Well, with MOHO, we're looking at what organizes and motivates us in our daily life. And to help with our stress and with in our daily routines is first looking at, you know, the three areas of MOHO looks at that volition, that motivation. So knowing what makes that job enjoyable or what makes anything in your life, it doesn't have to be your work. You know, what makes it enjoyable? What is that satisfaction with doing that activity? And, you know, and really that really can vary from person to person. And then the other area is, you know, having those habits and those routines. You know, people really thrive on routines and habits. And when you have a routine, that really helps reduce your stress. I know we all are like, you know, if we find out last minute that there's, you know, like an evaluation that we need to write, you know, it kind of throws us off our routines. We already got our routine down for the day. So, you know, a lot of times there's routines, or even at home, you know, maybe you have everything planned out and then all of a sudden, you know, a neighbor stops by, kind of throws off your routine. You're happy to see him, but then you're like, oh no, I'm late, you know, or the dentist appointment or whatever it may be that you had planned out. And then, you know, at the end too, is, you know, the other part of MOHO's frame of reference is that performance. And making sure that physically and mentally we have that capacity to perform the job. And that's a huge, huge part of our daily routines, is making sure that we can physically and mentally perform. And that is something we really have to be aware of, and thinking about our stress levels and making sure that we're using strategies to help.
Yes. And then I think that the performance part is really important, being able to recognize when you do need help. And that's a huge one, because I think for so many practitioners out there, not just occupational therapists, we
feel that we have to be strong, or we have to put up some sort of front that we're okay. We're always okay. Nothing touches us, but it actually does. There's a lot of stuff that does touch us and does get us in a state where we may not be at our best to practice what we're doing, and to be able to seek out that help and go to either counseling or talk to somebody, or, you know, just have a mentor available, somebody that you can talk to that can kind of help you sort, that can be objective. That's yes. Another thing you need. And so that's a really important piece. Dina, what are some of the, you know, people are different. All people are different. They deal with stress in many different ways. What are some of the things that you feel that, how OTs deal with the stress? How do they, what does it cause in their daily lives to happen?
Well, when we have a lot of stress in our life, we start to have those feelings, and those feelings could be fear, could be sadness, frustration. And then also we have changes in our appetite, our energy, our desire and interest. So, you know, sometimes we just don't want to do the things that we used to want to do. You know, maybe it's a hobby that we really love and enjoy. And then also when we have a lot of stress in our life, we kind of push those things aside and maybe eat a lot more junk food and, you know, not eating healthy. And then I noticed too with myself, you know, you have trouble concentrating. You know, it seems like you just can't learn. You know, if you're trying to maybe, you know, I even notice sometimes when I get stressed, I can't remember people's names. You know, it's just things that, you know, like just normal things that I know. I'm like, oh my gosh, why can't I think of their name? Because then I realize, you know, I'm stressed at the moment, and I just, you know, need to take a couple minute break. And then, you know, a lot of times too, when we have a lot of stress in our life, we can't sleep. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when you can't sleep, the next day you're exhausted, and that even definitely causes more stress.
I think with that sleep part, I find myself wanting to stay up late all the time.
Yes. Yes.
I think it takes me a long time to wind down after a day.
Yes.
So that's a big win with sleep, you know.
And especially too, if you had a stressful day, mm-hmm. then you just can't fall asleep because your mind just keeps going and through the whole day and what you have to do the next day. And then seems like before you know it, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You still haven't fallen asleep.
I know. Yep. It's been me.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, with stress, you have those physical reactions. Sometimes we think we're sick and it's just stress. You know, you may have your stomach might be upset and you might be like, oh man, I'm getting, you know, I must have eaten something. It wasn't right. But a lot of times it just might be that stress that's causing those problems or those headaches or maybe, you know, the backache or the, you know, your neck hurts. So those can sometimes be symptoms of stress. And, you know, when people get stressed, unfortunately, you know, some of our coworkers, you know, they're going to reach out to other alternatives that are not, you know, the best choices sometimes. And, you know, that could lead to even like, you know, alcohol and drug abuse too, you know, because a lot of times people are looking for something to help them relax and not always using the most appropriate strategies to help.
Yeah, I agree. I the physical reactions, I think too, like, I think, you know, when we didn't have children, you know, mm-hmm. as parents, we've added another layer of stress, you know, when we do have children, not that, you know, children are wonderful. I love children. Yes. It's just that it does add an extra level of stress. So, you know, if you're stressed at work and then you're stressed at home, it's like, you're not giving your best in either setting.
Yes. So true.
You know? So it's not just important for the work, you know, it's not only just important for your work life. It's also important for your family life. And it affects all, it's just like, almost like, what do you want to call it? Spirals out of control. You know what I mean? Just, you have to really stay on top of it.
And I think it's so true, Jennifer. And I think too, you know, it goes back to that balance too. And if you're not happy at home, or you're not happy as a mom, or you don't feel like you're doing a good job as a mom, and you know, you're not going to go to work and feel like you're doing a good job at work, then it just kind of all spirals, just like you said.
And I think, you know, we teach as occupational therapists so many different strategies for our children and our students
yes.
to cope. And really it can be applied to our lives as well.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of times too, like that visualization, you know, being able to visualize, you know, when you are maybe walking into the building, into this, you're walking into the school building and maybe it's a nice warm breeze and just take a moment and feel like you're at the beach or wherever your calm place might be. And then having, you know, we talked about, you know, having those leisure outlets and, you know, doing something that you enjoy. Those are some good ways to help reduce the stress.
I think too, like some of my coworkers, we do discuss, I have coworkers that I, you know, we can be pretty open with each other and we can discuss how, you know, issues and maybe make suggestions to the other of what they can do, you know, to take care of the feelings that the overwhelming feelings that they do have and the things that are stressing them out.
I was just saying to you, I was going to say, you know, those, just taking those time to have that time to maybe take those deep breaths or to relax, you know, taking 1 or 2 minutes here and there when you need it, just to kind of just a couple minutes of just calm, relaxed time for yourself.
Wouldn't it be nice if we had sensory rooms for the teachers in the,
Yes. I think that'd be great.
We have our own little sensory rooms with the bubble lamps and What are some of the other things that we do with the kids that we could also use as OTs?
Well, I think you just touched on one thing was, you like those environmental strategies, you know, having an area where the kids can just, you know, like a quiet, calm down area where they can go, a cozy space. And it's so simple and it's an easy thing that we can, you know, be an advocate for our children and make those suggestions in those classrooms. And, you know, a lot of times it could be other things too, like maybe playing some nice quiet music in the background, or let's turn off the lights and use some natural lighting. So just some really easy, like environmental strategies that we can do to help reduce stress.
I'm laughing because one of the schools that I work in, that she has those desks, they're big, those big old computer desks. And she has them lined up like in a U shape around the classroom. And then underneath each desk, a student has their own little cozy space.
Oh my, that's a great idea.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to do that? Go underneath your desk and sit there for a moment. Kidding, but not really.
Right. But we could do some things, like we can maybe dim the lights while we're working and yes, play some music in the background if that helps us. Yes.
The different, like my husband has different, he has those ball chairs, like different types of seating, you know, standing desks. I know a lot of people like the standing desks, because sitting in, I know that just my head over your head is a heavy, your head is such a heavy part of your body and you're always like over the desk or over the computer. And it can cause a lot of strain and stress in your neck. You know, the Apple Watch is so funny because it reminds you as an adult, you know, if you wear an Apple Watch, you need to get up and move around. And it's so true. I mean, you don't realize after a while you've been sitting there concentrating on something for so long and you really do need like those breaks. You need to get up, get a drink, go outside. Now that it's spring and the weather's getting nice, and just walk outside and take a deep breath.
And that's so important too. And just, you know, even those, you could do those nature walks with yourself or with the children and getting in touch with all of our different senses, you know, like name 5 things that you see and, you know, name 4 things that you can smell. And then, you know, what can you touch, and just kind of be more mindful of our environment, what's around us. And that actually can really help reduce the stress. And it's so easy to do.
Yes, it is. Yep. And it doesn't cost a lot of money.
No. You don't need any equipment.
You don't need equipment. Yeah,
that's right.
I think getting too bogged down and, you know, buying things that you think they're going to help you, but it's really all you need to do is go outside and take a nice walk and like you said, make it a habit, you know, that you do that every day.
Also with our children, I think it's helpful if they have somebody that they could check in with, like an adult that they trust that they can go to if they're having a stressful day. And that would help before they get to a point where they have a meltdown. So having a check-in person is helpful. And I think that's helpful for us as well. We just already talked about how, you know, having like that buddy system, somebody you could go to. So well, that's a good strategy.
And I like, you know, a lot of times in circle, like with the younger ones in circle time or at the beginning of the day when they make announcements in the classroom, I like how a lot of teachers have the kids do that. They check in. How are you feeling today? Where yes. are you? You know, some of the people use the zones of regulation. Like, where are you? Are you, what zone are you in? And I think as adults, we need to do the same thing. For some reason, I think we forget about ourselves. We're so concerned about how the children are working or how they're feeling that mm-hmm. are we feeling? Because I'll tell you something, a kid really can sense if you're feeling how you're feeling. They get those vibes from you. If you're not, yes. they really do. And I mean, I've been there where I have not been having a good day and then the session doesn't go very well because they sense it from me. They mm-hmm. they know that I'm not doing well. So it makes a difference.
Yes, I think that's so important as well, Jennifer, just making sure that, you know, we're in a good calm state when we are working with the children, because they do pick up on it. They really do.
One other thing too, that I always think about is that we always have grace and empathy for our patients or the students we're working for. I think we need to do that to ourselves too. Mm-hmm. Not every day is going to be great. Just isn't, you know, and then you're going to be thrown curveballs all the time. I mean, I have, you know, getting bad news in a meeting, like an IEP meeting or about a child. And we deal with some pretty heavy subject matter that, you know, and understand what am I going to do when that happens? How am I going to deal with that? And I'm talking about like kids that might have, or that might be medically fragile, you know, just understanding that it's going to affect us and we need to be able to have some tool in our toolbox to deal with that. So because we have to go out and guess what? We have to treat somebody else.
Yes. And knowing it's okay to feel that grief and then use a strategy to help yourself so that you can, like you said, you can return back to work.
Well, Dina, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this really important issue that OT practitioners need to really think about. Are there any resources that you can leave us with that I can put in the show notes that practitioners can click on and go to?
Yes, the American Occupational Therapy Association has a great website with information about stress management, coping strategies, just, you know, overall that mental health awareness. So that's a really good resource that somebody might want to take a look at. And then also we talked a lot about some strategies that we can help our children with in the classroom and that school environment and also in that home setting as well. And so I did put that link in as well. It's in there as well. It's called 58 Mindful Practices for Calming and Productive Classrooms. So that's a great link. And then there's another link in there about the model of human occupation. Just take a look at that again, kind of get us back into a frame of reference that could help us in our daily lives. And also when we're working with children and helping them as well.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Dina. I really appreciate coming out and helping me out with the show. And be great to have you back someday. So thank you.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Excellent. Nice to talk with you, Jennifer. That was fun.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the OT Corner with Mrs. K. Feel free to join the OT Corner community by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. If you have a topic you want to hear about, or if you would like to come on the show, feel free to contact Jennifer at theotcorner.com. We would love to hear from you. All information from the show is listed in the episode notes. We know you can listen to anyone, so we appreciate you stopping by. Until next time, thanks again.